From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Manned space exploration has entered a new era. Last week, four astronauts took off on a historic mission that captivated audiences around the world.
And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7. RS-25 engines lit. 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition and lift off. The crew of Artemis II now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
Yeah, the Cap Radio newsroom, we were all glued to the TV, as was millions and millions of other people around the world. The crew traveled further in space than any human has before, orbiting around the moon and set to splash down off the coast of San Diego tomorrow. Artemis's launch is due in part to a small Sacramento company whose connection to spaceflight goes back decades to the days of the Apollo missions. Sonia Susak is the president and owner of Tecma, and she joins us now. Welcome to Insight.
Hi. Glad
so tell us a little bit about Tecma. How did it all get started?
Well, that was my dad's creation. Back in 1957, he and a partner started Tecma. They came by way of Germany through São Paulo and were able to find their way to San Francisco, got a job there, and the owner of the company there said, hey, you guys need to move to Sacramento because being built right now in Sacramento is a company that's going to put man on the moon. So if you guys were to put up shop there, maybe you could get some of those jobs and you could be a part of that. And so they were super excited and moved to Sacramento and have been here for 69 years.
And that company was Aerojet Rocketdyne.
It was. It was called Aerojet GenCorp at the time.
But yes,
it was Aerojet.
Why did your father... Why was he so passionate about space exploration? And because the company's history goes back to the Apollo missions and has been around now for decades.
Well, I think, back in the day in the 50s, it was the Germans and German technology, and they were very involved. In fact, I honestly think my dad got invited to work with Aerojet because of his German background. They didn't know him. They just trusted, hey, this guy probably knows what he's talking about. He's been trained and he was an apprentice in Germany and, had quite a few years experience. But honestly, he was 26 years old when he started the company. Can you imagine? 26, 27 and starting to make parts that are going on the Apollo missions. I think it was the biggest source of pride that he's had in his lifetime.
Yeah, that is incredible. I mean, Tecma's been involved with basically every major space program since 1957. What pieces, like let's go back to the Apollo mission. What pieces did Tecma build?
Okay, so the lunar lander, right?
Yeah.
It has an ascent and a descent stage. So as that lunar lander was landing on the moon, it landed on the moon, and then it has got those feet. When it takes off to ascend back up to meet the capsule, what has to happen is it's got to actually take off, and then it needs something to cut the communication cords between the two stages. And so what my dad made were these blades, and he modified a casting, and then he made these two blades that would actually shoot out between these two castings. And they come within a tolerance of less than your hair, and they have to shoot out at very high speeds and cut those cords in order to make that separation. My dad always used to joke, it was kind of my favorite thing that he'd always say. He'd in his heavy German accent, he said, yeah, you know, the story of the Apollo would be very different if those didn't work because they would still be on the moon. And I mean, he said it all the time. And he used to call it, yeah, we were responsible for cutting the umbilical cords. He always had this funny way of turning the English language into something. And it was biblical how important those pieces were.
Yeah.
And so I grew up looking at the moon, knowing my dad has parts up there. Really, it changed my life. It sent me on this total space nerd trajectory.
I imagine. Yeah. I mean, what just a formative experience. I mean, of course, I imagine your dad in his mid-20s, starting this company and being part of space exploration. But I imagine you as a child growing up alongside this. So did you always know that you wanted to be involved in aerospace?
No. I'm a communications major from Sac State, right? I always was involved with the company. I helped with accounting. I helped with everything. I loved being a part of it, but I never thought that I would be stepping in for him. I really never thought that. And he never thought that either. He just thought, oh, you know, at the time, you know, there was a man's world and woman's world. And he never thought that I would have any interest in doing that. So I just worked in the office. I did the bookkeeping. I did a lot of the contract services and made the cert packages. I did the paperwork. But there's a lot to working in the aerospace and defense industry. So I had learned a lot along the way. And most importantly, I learned a lot from him about the foundation and really how to problem solve and run a company.
Yeah, I mean, you are leading this company. I mean, you went from being a communications major, not even thinking that you were going to basically be adjacent to it.
I know.
And now you're actually leading Tecma. It is now it's a woman-led company mm-hmm. in an industry and profession that I think largely has been dominated by men. Is that significant to you?
It is. It is. And actually makes it more fun because I feel like I'm representing the ladies out there. I think I'm doing a good job. And I'm, you know, I got into this a little later in life, meaning the boss later in life. So I had a lot to learn, but I don't know. It's just something that just inspires me every day to really work with all different people. Like, you know, people make that joke. It's not rocket science. Well, it is rocket science.
You know, as you know, we were all watching the launch last week. You know, it's the first time that we have had like a manned space flight in what, like 50 years. In the early stages of the Artemis program, when did you and Tecma become part of the mix? When did, I guess, NASA how does it work? Like, who reached out to your company and to you to produce parts for this program?
Well, the way it works is trickling down from NASA, it goes to prime contractors who bid for different parts of the rocket engine. Different prime contractors are responsible for different parts. It just so happened that Aerojet Rocketdyne and L3Harris were responsible for the RS-25 engines, the RL-10 engines, and the orbital maneuvering systems, really, of the Orion. But they were involved in all the shuttle programs. And so we were, back in the shuttle days, involved in the engines that were the orbital maneuvering engines. So we were kind of grandfathered in. We just went along for the ride. And it was, honestly, Aerojet Rocketdyne who did all the work to get those contracts. We were just the lucky supplier that got to be there for that. And I got to be honest, in the beginning, we didn't know what we were making. They just gave us the drawings. We said, let's go, let's do it. And as we started learning more, we were like, whoa, this is the coolest thing. And it was really hard to contain ourselves. And yeah, that's how we got involved. Maybe by luck, I don't know.
And when did you start getting those order for parts? Like, how many years does this go back?
It had to go back to 2018. Like I said, we've been working
And you had no idea what you were producing parts for.
No. Well, you gotta remember the RS-25 engines, those four main engines on the bottom, those are basic. They have evolved from the shuttle days. So it kind of just was a smooth transition right into those newer, updated rocket engines.
You've produced, I believe, isn't it like thousands of parts are part of the Artemis program? Do you know which parts are actually part of Artemis 2 and this launch?
So I had to do a count before I came on, and I counted it. We have shipped over 7,000 parts.
Wow.
And if you take them and you shoot them up against the rocket, they're sprinkled all throughout the top and the bottom. But I don't know if it's all on Artemis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I know that many of the most recent parts we've made are for the later Artemis missions. So I do know we had parts on Artemis 1 and 2 for sure. Mm-hmm. But as the program progresses onto the next phases, we will have more and more parts on it.
That is incredible. You were also in Florida. I mean, you saw the launch with your own eyes.
It was so incredible.
Yeah. Have you been able to reflect on that moment? I mean, that moment in history that you're a part of, you not only witnessed, but you and your company are part of it.
I'm trying to sit and settle down. But honestly, it's so hard to really process that. It was that I got to be honest. You know, everybody goes, oh, it's once in a lifetime. Well, it was twice because I got to go to the first launch and this was the second one. But it was all different because there were human beings on board. And although we make teeny tiny parts, teeny tiny ones, it's, you know, the responsibility is not proportional. I felt that responsibility as I watched those four heroes get strapped in. And those are four people who are saying, I'm willing to risk my life and get on this rocket ship. I don't know if I'm coming back. And I thought, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that we are responsible, precise, and no holds bar. You're going to get perfect parts from us because I don't want to be responsible for anything. But when I saw them getting strapped in there, and then to know that those engines are going to start and please, please, God, let them be safe. It is an overwhelming feeling. And I know that, you know, I don't know if you know this in the countdown. You hear 10, 9, 8. When they hit 6, that's when the engines turn on. A large majority of our parts are part of that igniter switch. So first, let it turn on, and then let everything go safely all the way through. And it did. And it was just so intense. I can't even tell you what it was like. And then the sound hit. And then the feeling that you get standing there in that vibration and hearing that. Honestly, it's something I can't describe. I heard you might have a sound bite of it.
Oh, we played it right off the top. Yeah. I mean, even re-listening to it, it's deeply emotional.
Yeah. And you heard him say, right at 7, mm-hmm. ours 25 engine. So it's just the first part. But what happens is that's 8.8 billion pounds of thrust. It pushes the air and it makes the air slap. And that slapping as sound is traveling 3.1 miles to where I was standing. I was standing on these metal bleachers that were there in the Apollo days. So that already was just that feeling, historic feeling. I can't get over it. And then the bleachers start shaking and you're vibrating. You're like, what is this? What is going on? And then my ears hurt because it was so incredibly loud. And then I'm looking up and you could see the blaze coming from those engines. And you know, they tell you, don't look when somebody's welding. Don't look at the sun during. So I think I'm cool with it. I burned my eyes probably. That fire coming out of the bottom of that rocket engine, that the power was, it is indescribable. I'm trying to describe it, but I can't describe it. It was, and then all of a sudden I realized, what is that? And I realized I was in full tears. It was relief. Like, they did it. We did it. And when the core stage, those two booster rockets dropped off and you could just, they were just dropping slow like feathers. I realized we're going to make it. Look at that. They've passed that point. They've hit Mako, where main engine cut off. They've gotten to the next stage. They're safe. They've done it. I did my part. It felt really good.
Yeah. And you must have been thinking of your dad in that moment too. Yeah,
I was. I felt like there was a launch party up in heaven and he was definitely looking down on me, proud and really celebrating. Yeah. I mean, really celebrating. Yeah, it was a great feeling.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sonia Susak from the Sacramento company Tecma, which made parts for the ongoing Artemis II mission. So this launch also happened on your company's 69th anniversary. I mean, this company is going strong. You took the reins, you know, 14 years ago. What does the future look like for your company?
Hard to say. Right now, I don't want to do anything but aerospace and defense. We don't do any kind of commercial work. There's an incredible amount of pride involved with supporting your country. And putting the collective achievements together of so many different companies for one purpose, space exploration, and the defense of our nation, I think that to me is what is my driving force. Mm-hmm. So I hope to continue doing more things in that direction.
Artemis 3 is expected to launch sometime next year, according to NASA. Obviously, that's like a loose time frame and things can change. You mentioned as Artemis, this program, continues to progress, that TECMA is going to have a footprint in this. So are you still, is that work ongoing right now?
It is ongoing. They have preloaded and pre-ordered quite a bit of things for the upcoming next 18 engines. After that, we have to wait and see, you know, what does the country want to do? But right now, NASA's mission is just to kind of continue. Let's get us on the moon. Let's take the next steps. Let's see what's out there. Yeah, they're changing all the time. They were making a lunar gateway, and then now it's, you know, they're going to have a presence on the moon, and it is really fun to watch. It really is. Yeah. It should be a mini series how these guys think. It's so forward thinking, and to imagine that little Sacramento company is part of that, I think it's pretty incredible.
What does it mean to you that you also have new generations who didn't experience the Apollo missions or the other missions from decades ago that are now taking in astronauts going to space, you know, hopefully, you know, in the next year or so landing on the moon? There's a whole generation, more than one generation of people who've never experienced this before.
It really blows my mind. First of all, makes me feel old. Second of all, I just think, how do we reach all of these kids? How do we reach them? And honestly, this mission is going to do that. And I've got some younger people working for me now, and I love bringing them into the fold and getting them excited too. And I hope that the schools will be able to pick up on this. And I mean, talk about teaching a child. You can do anything. This is anything. You can go to the moon. I mean, imagine that. I think it's so just invigorating that we could be excited about something like this.
Sonia, thank you so much for stopping by. I imagine you're going to be watching tomorrow, too, when they land.
I got to tell you, I'm a little anxious. It's when they're home and they're home safe and I can really celebrate more, I am going to do it. Thank you for having me.
Oh, wonderful to have you. Sonia Susak is the owner and president of the manufacturing company TECMA. The Sacramento-based company helps supply parts for the Artemis II mission, which is set to return to Earth tomorrow. Up next, a number of accessibility lawsuits have been filed against Sacramento area restaurants. Business owners say the litigation is a significant financial hurdle, while disability rights groups say this is the law working as intended. We'll learn about legislative efforts looking to strike a balance between the concerns. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.